Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller.
When we think of the best college football player of the year, we think of the Heisman Trophy, but many of those do not make it in the NFL. But they do in other leagues, including the Canadian Football League. Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us to tell us about some of these great players that won the Heisman and played in the CFL. Tim's up in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday of footballarchaeology.com day, where we get to talk to Tim Brown of that site about one of his great tidbits that he has coming out multiple times a week. Tim, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Hey, Darren. Good seeing you again, as always. Let's, I think today's story, if I remember correctly, is brings back the old quote that you learned in U.S. history class in high school: "Go north, young man. Go north."
Go north. That's a good point, and maybe that's a great segue into what your tidbit is that we're going to be talking about today. That you had titled "Billy Vessels and the Heisman Winners in Canadian Football." So maybe that north is ringing true to our listeners now. So why don't you further explain it to us?
I'd be glad to. I just think this is kind of a fun one because, there's been a couple of times when, this is all about a time when the Canadian football could spend the same money as the NFL, right? And that happened in bits and spurts, the AAFC in the late 40s, they spent comparable money. So did the USFL. So did the WFL, but and like what happened here, they basically went out after a couple of key stars. Right. To kind of bring publicity and showcase key players, right? So Larry Zonka all of a sudden and Mercury Morris, I think, are in the WFL and different things happen in each league. But in this particular case, as it's turned out, 10 different Heisman Trophy winners have played professional football in Canada. And generally they are guys who were on the downside of their careers, right? I mean, they played in the NFL. They had a couple of years, and for one reason or another, could have been just their abilities. They didn't fit the mold of the NFL, or they had drug problems, whatever it may have been. But they just didn't last in the NFL. And so Canada was their opportunity to kind of rehabilitate themselves, either as football players or as people. And, you know, because it just wasn't as much money. But back a little bit earlier, it was the same money. And so so this story really is about Billy Vessels, because he's a different story. You know, he was the 1952 Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma, played under you know, Bud Wilkinson, running the split T offense, and he's a running back. You know, most Heisman Trophy winners are either a running back or quarterback, and among those who played in Canada, four were running backs and six were quarterbacks. So he gets drafted by the Colts, who had just moved from Baltimore. So, you know, they were kind of a, you know, not a well-organized franchise, and, you know, maybe, you know, then they actually dissolved, I think, after another year or two. But anyways, it sounds like they kind of lowballed him. And, you know, he was coming out of Oklahoma, again, playing the split T, and he had an opportunity to go up to Edmonton that was being coached by Daryl Royal, who went on to, you know, fame in U.S. college football, who was an Oklahoma alum who had run the split T when he was there as a player and was running it up in Edmonton. You know, and plus, like, his quarterback at Oklahoma the previous year had played for Edmonton the year before and liked it, you know. And so they offered him at least comparable money, plus the opportunity to get into the oil business up there. And he's an Oklahoma kid, and he's like, oil sounds good. You know. Right. And so the whole combination just, you know, he signed with them. And, you know, it's one of those things you just can't even imagine anymore, because the money is just so different. You know, the highest paid CFL players, you know, basically make less than the lowest paid NFL players, you know, in terms of permanent roster guys. And so the money's no longer comparable, but then it was. And so, you know, he goes up there, has a great season. He's the most outstanding player for what was then the Western Interprovincial Rugby Union. So this is pre-CFL forming. You know, he's a total stud up there. They get eliminated from the playoffs. And then, you know, around that time, he learns that he's getting drafted by the U.S. a second time, this time by the U.S. Army, not by the NFL. So
that's the one you can't turn down.
Right? Yeah, no, you don't have a choice on that one. And so, you know, he ends up, you know, spending 2 years in the Army. And then, and actually in the first year when he was drafted, somehow it worked out that he was able to play like one or two games with the Kitchener team, which was in the Ontario Rugby Football Union. So they were like kind of a second class league, but they still played in the Grey Cup. And so he plays one or two games with them, but then basically, you know, he's playing Army football until 1956, when he signs with the Colts, plays 1 year with them. And, you know, they kind of, he ends up in a backfield with like, Alan Ameche and, who's the other stud? I'm blanking on the name of the halfback, but they end up shifting him to flanker. 'Cause that's just when really, you know, flankers are really becoming a key part of NFL play. And he does well there, but anyways. And after the end of the season, he just kind of says, you know, I'm done with it. I'm good. And he ends up not even going into the oil business anymore. He ends up in, moves to Florida and moves into real estate and does well for himself and everything. But it's just one of those funny stories you just can't imagine anymore, because here's this guy, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, and he signs with Canada, number one. And then, you know, basically leaves the game after, you know, 2 years of play. You know, granted, he was in the U.S. Army for two years in between. But just, you know, the money money differences today are so great that it just wouldn't happen anymore. But it happened then, you know.
Yeah. Right.
So
I'm intrigued. So who I'm trying to run through my head who the other nine Heisman winners were that were in the CFL. And I'm thinking like a Rocket Ishmael is one, right?
Nope.
Didn't he win a Heisman?
He's not on my list. He's not my
Didn't he win a Heisman? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
he won the Heisman, but I don't think he's on the
maybe that was his brother that played in the CFL. Maybe it was Doug Flutie. That's an easy one.
Flutie.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know who the other seven would be, or I guess it would be eight more because it wasn't Rocket Ishmael.
So Billy Vessels, Terry Baker out of Oregon, quarterback, 1962 Heisman, Johnny Rogers, Nebraska, 1972, Andre Ware, 89.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he played in the CFL.
He's Houston, right?
Right.
Rashawn Salaam. So he didn't play in a regular season game. I guess he was in the roster or whatever. But Ricky Williams, that's where the drug problem kind of thing goes in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I forgot about Ricky was in there. That was Eric before Kreit. He went to the Dolphins, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he came out of the CFL and went to the Dolphins after that. Okay.
So he was 98 Heisman, and he didn't play in the CFL until 2006.
Okay, but he was New Orleans Saints. That's where they traded all the crazy draft picks to get that selection. Ditka.
And then Eric Crouch. Okay. I saw him. I was in the stadium to see him versus Oklahoma. He had a nice long touchdown run on the left side of the field. Troy Smith.
Okay.
And then Johnny Manziel.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Manziel too. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but they're all kind of they had a cup of coffee up there, right? I mean, they kind of did their best, and I really think all of them they're like trying to rest. Other than Vessels, you know, they're kind of trying to resurrect their career up there, or one last shot kind of thing. But you know, it never really worked out. I mean, Flutie's a real difference, among a lot of these guys, you know.
Yeah, he did real well up there and then got himself back in the NFL
I mean, he did real well wherever he was, you know, but he still wasn't, it wasn't like he went from the CFL and became MVP in the NFL, you know.
Right.
He's one of those guys, and a lot of these guys, quarterbacks especially, they're kind of smaller guys. You know, they didn't fit the mold of the big, tall, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, kind of stud, you know, T formation drop pack quarterback. Now, nowadays, probably there's a lot more overlap, I think, in terms of skill set of CFL quarterbacks and NFL quarterbacks. But back, you know, a decade or two, you know, in the past, maybe not so much. They wanted the big 6'6" guy, and you know, if you were Flutie's size, sorry.
But you have a chance. Like even D2 guys have a chance. You know, like Trevor Harris, who's been in there forever. I'm surprised he's still playing. He's had a phenomenal year this year. He's actually from my college. He's from Edinburgh University.
Yeah,
I remember watching him play.
You know, there's. Well, actually, one of the cool things about like the CFL this year is you got guys like Trey Ford with Saskatchewan, Nathan Rourke with BC, you know, so Canadian kids, you know, and Rourke played at Ohio, but, you know, Ford was, you know, played up in U Sports. So and there's one other guy that I'm missing. But anyways, there's multiple NFL or CFL starting quarterbacks who are Canadian kids this year, which is really cool. Right.
Right.
But by and large, you know, they're guys who there's a fair number of them that played at, you know, FCS or lower, you know, kind of MAC, you know, whatever, you know, so P whatever we're calling them now, P4 schools, or G4 schools, whatever we're calling them. But so there's a lot of those guys who are the quarterbacks. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, they fit that game better. You know, they're just more mobile quarterbacks. They can move around and, you know, and they're just, you know, they're willing to stick around and make it happen. You know, and then you got guys like Mazzoli and other guys, you know, who've been there, you know, for a little bit longer, but it's, well, anyways, I think it's, you know, I think it's fun. That's kind of a different topic, but, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. And I'm glad that you bring up some of these things, you know, it's a crossover American football and the Canadian football. And you see some of our biggest college stars, and you just mentioned 10 of them that won the highest award from college football in America. And, you know, some of them did great in Canadian football, some, you know, average or, you know, maybe a little bit less, but you bring out some attention to them. And just like you do a lot of the stories that you do in your tidbits, and maybe you could share with the audience, you know, how they can take in some of your tidbits.
Yeah. You know, basically it's, you know, the site's called Football Archaeology. Just Google that and you can subscribe and either get an email every time that I publish a new story, or just follow me on the Substack app, or just, you know, follow me on Blue Sky, or bookmark it and come out and visit anytime you want. So that's best way to check out the tidbits and other stories.
All right, Tim, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing this like you do every Tuesday, and love to talk to you again next week.
Very good. Thanks, Darren.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.